lie, she don't lie, she don't lie. You're not gonna put that through.
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Bottom, my friend, the NBL and the WNBL. Seasons are over, but now the big time playoffs start. I should say regular seasons are over. Hello,
yes.
My friend.
Here come the postseasons, and aren't we looking forward to them? This weekend, we're already getting stuck into the WNBL, as we should. And frankly, Brad, I think on Thursday when Australia plays Indonesia and Sunday when they play Thailand, in between on Friday and Saturday, we could have had the two game ones of the NBL finals. We could have had Melbourne and Perth on Friday. We could have had Illawarra and Southeast Melbourne on Saturday without compromising the Australian team, because an Australian team comprised of the players from teams that didn't make it to the semis will still flog Indonesia and Thailand by 100.
It's an interesting one, because I've been asked that before, and I don't know where I heard this. I'm not saying it's true, but I remember when all these teams are done, like FIBA breaks and, you know, qualifying for FIBA at tournaments and stuff, it's way in advance. So this could have been a year and a half ago, right? And when the NBL are doing their draws, that's done a year and a half ago. Like, they're already working on, you know, 26 and all of those things, what's been going on for ages, right? And for me, I remember thinking, one of the problems you have is, God forbid that Australia hadn't qualified for what will now be the Worlds, because that's what they're trying to qualify for. You would want your full team ready, because, God, if we didn't make the Worlds, could you imagine? But, like, now you look at it and go, we were always qualifying. So it's really, I understand, I guess, why there's a break, but you look at it now and you say to yourself, we could have kept playing, and I agree with you.
But is it the Worlds, Brad? I think it's the Asia Cup. I think this is
Asia Cup. Oh, you might be right. Sorry, whatever it may
in
be.
Which
sorry,
instance, in which instance, I would say this. As the Asia Cup holders, and that's twice in a row now.
Yeah,
and also the highest qualifier at the Paris Olympics, the highest finisher, I should say, from Asia, we should get a pass and just automatically be in the Asia Cup tournament. This stuff is a nonsense. No, playing Indonesia, no offense to Indonesia or any Indonesians listening, or anyone from Thailand. And I love the food. Really.
It's fabulous. And this
curry
is great.
Prawns, great. But they can't compete with us on a basketball court.
No, and you know, it's like what they say about the Australian cricket team. You know, you go over to, you know, I think it was just Sri Lanka recently, and everyone's like, what, you know, that's just terrible. Well, that wasn't a game. The answer is, that's great for Sri Lanka in cricket, right? They get to play against, right? Well, that's the same as these games. This is fabulous for whoever we play.
But by suspending our NBL semi-finals, we are disadvantaging Illawarra and Melbourne, who won't have played for close to 3 weeks, and we're losing the momentum of the finals that we got. Like, we've just seen a couple of great finals. Perth, Southeast Melbourne wasn't that great. But following on from that, Sydney, Adelaide was a cracker. And then Adelaide, Southeast Melbourne was a very interesting. Like, we've got some momentum going. And now put your feet up and watch some AFL and some NRL practice games. Already.
Well, let me just move on to the WNBL. Do I need to now, like, knight you or something? Like, are you
Sir Botond?
Sir Botond. So, because did you like how it said Sir Botond?
Yeah,
I don't mind that, right?
Very
so,
good.
So for our listeners, of course, everyone would know, because it was highly publicized on TV, the whole awards. Not, sorry, just having a little dig there. You have been inducted with six other people to life membership of the WNBL. Sir Botond, congratulations,
thank you
my
very
friend.
Much. It was a very lovely surprise. I know who was behind doing that, and I'm really grateful to her. And I'm very, just really overwhelmed by and humbled by. What, sorry?
Is that your alter ego?
Yeah, said, it I'm very is. Happy to it's hurt. That's the real me that people don't see. they only hear the not real me or whatever. No, it was a beautiful thing, and I was really, really grateful to have that.
Well, let's stay on here. The other six members, just while we're here, Elise Kunick as a player, Lauren Jackson as
Elise,
a player.
There you are. Elise, you've done it again. Elise Kunick. Is it Elise Springs that you go to in Northern Territory? It's Alice.
You know what? Stuff your Lord Botond, all right? You can just get buggered. He's got a bloody award.
Pronounce Quinn, the name correctly.
Jodie Craig, who I used to know really well because she used to be at the Kings, and I love Jodie Craig. That was Nee Smith, so that used to be Jodie Smith's. She played for the Flames for many years and then worked in administration with the St. Kings. John Davidson as a contributor, Donna Turner as a contributor, and our own Sir Botond.
Yeah, don't leave out the... Probably the best person on the list.
Yeah.
The name rhymes with Baron Maxson. Lauren Jackson, mate.
Didn't I already say her? I said player and administrator.
No, you left her out. You forgot all about her.
I'm going to go back and listen to this.
We'll have to cut and redo this.
No, I reckon I said it. I'm going to go back to this. Now, everyone's pressing rewind on the podcast. Now, who's? I can't even remember what I said 30 seconds ago. You're like, you didn't. Oh, God, I hope I'm right.
Please,
give us a text message, everyone, or Twitter, that stuff. You know, because we're real young, us group. We know what we're doing.
Anyways, it was a great honor,
to you about the awards. Let's stay on the awards.
They got a couple of them dead right. I mean, Sammy Whitcomb, no question. We were talking about that all season. The All-Star Five, I think that was a terrific group, the first team. And again,
can I just name that? So Veronica Burton, Kelsey Griffin. Sorry, Veronica Burton, Kelsey Griffin, Adelie Maley, Jay Melbourne, Mila Sauer. That was the five for the second team. And, of course, the All-NBL team, Naz Hillman, Sammy Whitcomb, Ali Wilson, Courtney Woods, and I hope Letitia Amir. Am I right? Am I saying
that's pretty
that
good,
right?
Yeah. Okay. And again, what I like about that is exactly what I disliked about the NBL is that is a first team. Okay, that's the five players in the
positional
point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this positionless basketball, that's a load of nonsense. I mean, if you talk to me about positionless basketball, as soon as that 7-foot athlete walks in and say, oh yeah, he's going to be playing point guard. Yeah, Pitt's bum he is.
Ford fan MVP, Jade Melbourne. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why they've got that as the second most important thing in their list because, with all due respect to Jade, a deserved winner, fans love her, people love her. I think of her. When I see her, I just think the word smiley. She's always, you know, enjoying herself. But that's not that. Surely a fan vote is not the most important thing to be second. I would have gone MVP, Coach of the Year, which I think...
Okay, well, Shannon Seabomb got it. Your thoughts?
I think Shannon Seabomb is a great coach, but for him to win that for the fifth time when his side finished third, and that's his fifth win, Brad, which means he's won it more times than Tom Maher, who's the greatest women's basketball coach in this country's history. To me, that's BS, that's Golden Boy stuff. Kennedy Kiriyama, coach of the Bendigo Spirit, by far.
I know Shannon and he's a fabulous coach. Everyone says that. And I don't really mind if it's been 5 or 10 times. I don't put, you know, like eras, that's not fair. You know, you don't go down that path. I get it. But I must admit, of a team like Bendigo, some people say, well, they're stacked. And sometimes as a coach, that's harder. Right. You've got to man manage that, or women manage that. But you know what I mean? It's really difficult. So the Betty Watson breakout player of the year, Abby Ellis, I don't think that was really, I had no problem with that. Your thoughts?
I did. Shanice Swain, come on, mate. 36 in one game, 40 in another game. Breakout player. That's what I call breaking out.
Okay. All right. Six women of the year. How are you with that?
Yeah, I thought Alex Fowler was unlucky. I really love Abby Wirung, and I'm any of these people that won, I'm happy for them to have won. I'm just saying, in a couple of categories, I don't think that was right. Now, Abby comes in on a Bendigo team that's already like 10, 15 up, right? That's when she gets subbed in as the sixth woman. So she doesn't come in, I don't think, very often to huge pressure. So she's able to just play. She's able to just be the best version of herself. I think maybe an Alex Fowler and Alex Cipitone, these guys didn't vote very well. They come in and really make a difference to teams that aren't always in the box seat.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Okay. All right. Well, that's the award winners. Let's talk about...
There was no referee of the year. I did notice there was no referee of the year.
Are there referees in? I haven't noticed. Do they have referees or is the defense call fouls?
I don't know. Or maybe they had a preemptive coach's challenge.
Oh, that's good. I love that. All right. Well, let's move on now. Obviously, the playoffs have come and we're starting now on the 22nd, which is obviously Saturday. Perth take on Townsville. What a win that was by Perth to be able to get home court advantage.
Yeah, it was amazing because the end of regulation, Nia Coffey had to hit a big shot for Townsville before set into overtime. Yep. And then in overtime, they're two up when Letitia Amahir gets the ball in the backcourt, pushes it up the floor, hits Chibatoni on the wing, nothing but net with her three ball, and they win the game. I mean, Townsville still raced it forward and had a shot for it, which hit the ring. It was close, but that was a big shot by a player.
Big shot.
Very happy to take the big shot and make the big play, Alex.
And this is tough. I mean, you're talking about the longest travel of the WNBL, Perth Townsville, right? That is a very, very long distance travel, more than anyone will have to go, considering you're talking, you know, Bendigo and the Flames, right? Like, that's, you know, I mean, yes, you'll land in Melbourne, 2 hour drive, but still. That's a tough gig. I probably go with Perth now because of the home court advantage. Do you?
Prior to them, to Townsville losing at home in the last round and the last game of the regulars, the very last moment, I would have said that it had flipped and that I like Townsville. I could see a Townsville Bendigo, a revisit to a, you know, a while ago when they played off for the championship three times in a row. Mm. But now I think you're right. I think the momentum swung now for Perth and I reckon I'll get the first one at home.
Can Sydney steal a game off Bendigo? Let's be honest. That's really the truth. Bendigo win that series. I mean, I believe that. I'm sure you do as well. Does Sydney steal one?
Yes, if they tell Bendigo that the game is at Qdos Bank Arena when it's at the Key Centre, and so if they can get them to forfeit one, they're home and hosed. They can force a third game.
Oh, that coming from Subotom, our life member. There we go. I love it. All right, three game series. Obviously, it goes into the beginning of March. We're predicting here. We both agree that it's a Perth Bendigo Grand Final, and let's see how that progresses. Botond, my friend, WNBL is over for our little chat. Let's go to the NBL. What a couple of weeks it's been. We did have a week off last week because the FIBA break, we decided we will just let that all play out and let the games happen. Look, we won't go through all games and talk and everything, but let's just say the Perth, I thought that was versus Southeast Melbourne. That was a tough game to watch. You mentioned that. A lot of fouls, a lot of free throws. Yeah. Perth went on, and that's where, you know, Melbourne have got this time off in Illawarra. Perth are only 2 days behind them, so they got a long time off as well because the game started on that situation. Obviously, the Sydney-Adelaide, I think a lot of people thought Adelaide would come in there. No Xavier Cooks, was a big out, obviously, for the second game in a row, and it's come out now that there is a substance situation. Not going to go into detail with that, can't go into detail, don't know anything about it, but there's been a lot of talk in the media about it. Sure, everyone's with that, but the bottom line is losing a Xavier Cooks, your best player, you struggle to win. They lost against Illawarra and they lost against Adelaide. Adelaide advanced to go through to Southeast Melbourne. Let's talk about that at the moment.
Let's just jump back to Sydney because I thought that with Xavier Cooks out, Sydney was going to get blown off the floor, and they played probably one of their better games as a team. Cam Oliver, if he'd produced that sort of performance all season instead of leaving it for one game at the end of the season, they wouldn't have even been in that game, Brad. They would have finished up much higher. They wouldn't have even been playing off for fifth and sixth. So I was quite impressed that he actually, I mean, it was a personal issue, obviously, between him and Montrezl Harrell, a couple of NBA guys going head-to-head. But if he'd played that way, that Sydney team would have finished differently. So the question I have for you, again, like I found some of the rotations erratic. You're starting Tyler Robertson, then he plays like, 4 minutes in the game. Like there was some oddities. Looking at the Kings, you're there, you're right in the hub, that's your club. What do they have to do now to go forward? Because you know, there's got to be some dismantling of this group, sure.
Well, on the assumption that Xavier Cooks and Bulkwa were coming back because they were their big signings in the offseason, and I'm sure it was 3 years for both of them, yeah. I'm going to assume they're going to be there. Kelly Lepepe had a three-year deal. I'm sure he will be there, and he should be there.
Yeah, right? That's three ticks I'd give
you
so far.
Kwot Noi, without a doubt, right? So you bring that back. I'm not bringing either import back. It didn't work. The Kings looked clunky on the offensive end the whole year. It just didn't seem to – anything didn't get going unless it was Jalen Adams doing what he did or Kwot Noi and Xavier to a degree. It just didn't work. Even when Cam Oliver went off, it looked clunky. Defensively, they were better this year than they were better last year, right? So I think they were better this year, but they didn't, you know, get to where they needed to go.
Exactly the same.
They just struggled. I think, well, Gorge has come out and said he wants three imports. They tried to do that this year, but they stuffed it by bringing out an import that couldn't, you know, play the seven games. And he had to play that first game when he arrived and he wasn't right. So then it didn't matter. They weren't going to wait. So I think there'll be nervousness for guys like Sean Bruce, Isaiah Liatha. I'm not sure what their contracts are like, but that would be nervousness because, you know, I don't know where Gorge is going to go with that. I'm not sure how you have both and where that fits in if you're going to go and get three imports. But they will lose Alex Tui, so do they bring in a next star?
What's the loss of Alex Tui? Like, you think he's going to make an NBA?
I think he'll go NBA.
Two-way contract?
I think. And if he doesn't, well, then that's a bigger thing because don't forget, now he would be a rostered player. That's another spot. Mm. Now, not that you wouldn't take that spot, but where do you fit everyone in? Jalen Galloway, he'll come back into the mix now, right? So I think it's going to be a really interesting offseason. The biggest one, and you know, I'd say it, I think it was just so obvious that the big man in the middle, Jordan Hunter, was the one they let go. Mm-hmm. Unless you can find that Australian, and there's talk whether Sam Frolling is coming here. I don't believe that. I just think he'll re-sign in Illawarra. It is talk. So I think
what about guys like Angus Brandt? Like, are they still floating around somewhere that they couldn't be brought back?
There's been mention he's in Japan, I think, still, and there's been mention about
him money in Japan.
And there's been I don't know, but I just think they'll go with that import big, import guard, and then if they do, it looked like it will be that import two. Because Gorge made it very obvious that when the ball moved around, we didn't have that extra go-to guy. And he mentioned in the presser there was five when you look at other teams, three imports and two marquees, right?
Honestly, I don't think there's been any season of NBL where I've watched Brian do his thing, and he was the GOAT, is the GOAT, where I heard more excuses than this year.
I mean, you know, I'm very close with Gorge, right? I know it's only us talking.
Yes.
But, you know, I look at it and I do feel a little bit sorry for him this year. You know, like, I just feel, you know, he had some players on that roster that it just looked like it was hard work. It really did, you know, and sometimes you just don't know that you're going to get that. And I just think, you know, this is a three-year deal and it's a three-year project, if you want to call it. Last year was atrocious, right? And Gorge has come in this year. I feel the team was better this year, but I know they finished in the same spot. Mm. But you look at the teams that are playing as well, they're better.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. This Brad and Body podcast, it's not Lord Booty and King Brad. Okay, so let's move on from the Kings. Let's go to Adelaide because they were great against the Kings.
Bring them back.
They were great at halftime against South East Melbourne.
Roll them
19
back.
Up. Well, Kendrick Davis, big three, right on the bell. You go into the change rooms feeling high as a kite. You come out, you score the first basket, you're 21 up. And then Mike Wells sat on his hands the rest of the way while those South East Melbourne guys, and let's be specific who they were, because it wasn't Nathan Sobey. It sure as hell wasn't Joe Wieskamp. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Hunter sat for a big portion of the game. It was Owen Foxwell, mm-hmm. Matt Hurt, Angus mm-hmm. Glover, Ben Eyre.
Mm-hmm.
And then some valuable minutes from Matt Kenyon. You just knew when they went in at halftime, Josh King's going to change some stuff here. And all we saw from Mike Wilson, the 36 in the second half, was nothing. Just standing on the sideline looking bewildered. And then Not changing anything defensively, not changing anything except subs. Few subs. You come in, you come out, as if that's going to change the game. And then he reverted back to the next thing that he does, start bitching at the refs. It's the refs' fault. And then we try and swing at us. It's all the referees. That was a disaster. Yeah.
Fair enough it was. I said it before. We saw Adelaide in four quarters the other day. Yeah. That's it. Their whole season was in that four quarters. So good, but yet so bad. And but if I'm them, I'm bringing those four back. I don't think it will happen because something's got to change because I don't know, you know, there's so much talk about the coaching staff and some players and are they getting along and all of that type of stuff. So I don't think that you can bring that back and it will be very difficult. I know Mike Wells is signed, but I mean, what does that mean? We've seen that many times before. I don't know what will happen, but I would bring Montrez, Kendrick, well, DJ and Isaac already signed. I don't know if I would bring Jarrell Martin back. I just didn't see how he fit into that squad. He never looked like he got over that injury hump. But outside of that, I just think if they can get it going, they win this comp.
Yeah, but they can't get it going. There's too many disparate personalities. There's too many alpha males. And with Jarrell Martin, I think the moment Montrezl Harrell arrived, Jarrell Martin's relevance and efficiency and importance in this team diminished to the point where he was not the Jarrell Martin that played on a Sydney Kings championship.
Agreed.
Different player.
A quick shout out to Jason Kadee. Congratulations on a fantastic career. Yep. You know, he's a kid that was in an accident many, many years ago that may have stopped his basketball career. And to be able to fight and go 400 plus games, and I did say it on the on the NBL pod that I was on this week as well, that I just said, I haven't met a player that everyone loves like him. And it reminds me of that Damian Martin. It's just like everyone loves him, all his teammates, you know, everyone.
You can find him. And Brett Maher was like that here in Adelaide.
Sorry, I shouldn't say I haven't met. Probably a bad, what I'm saying is he's up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
players
that
everyone loves. That's not the right comment because there are a lot of players like that.
This is a guy that was hit by a semi-trailer in a car crash and was pinned in the car with a broken pelvis for 90 minutes. He's come back and produced a 424-game NBL career and been, as you say, loved wherever he went.
And that's a huge loss for Adelaide.
Yeah, he was big behind their success.
Yes.
You know, he was the one doing a lot of the coaching.
Yep, and I just see that he has signed for the Bankstown Bruins, going back to where it all started for NBL1. So congratulations to him. All right, so let's move on to the semi-final games next week. You know what? We'll chat about that next week. What I do want to say is, very quickly, can Southeast Melbourne beat Illawarra in a three-game series?
It's a really tough call because has Derek Walton been definitively ruled out of the playoffs, or was
they're saying they reckon he'll be back.
And I think we've got a great series. I think we've got two great series that I can't wait for. I think Illawarra will win the series simply because they had last year as prep. You know, last year got those guys, the main bulk of them, and then, okay, Darius Days is in and Trey Kell is in for Robinson and Clark, but pretty much it's the same group. So they've experienced failure at that particular point. I think they're ready to succeed. So I think it's going to be a great series. Southeast Melbourne might have to wait another year, but they're right there. Josh King has done a simply magnificent job with that group.
While I have you here then, let's just talk about the awards night. We haven't spoken about it. The awards for the NBL have been handed out. We spoke about the WNBL. Was there anything there that stood out to you? I know you don't love the situation of how it's positional.
The All-Star Five. I say you can't call that a team. You cannot say NBL first team because that ain't a team. Four guards and one forward, that's not a team. So
are you happy with Bryce Cotton being MVP? Obviously, yes. Were you happy with the five? That, like, was there any arguments there?
No, I wasn't. I can't buy into that. For me, it's got to be, if you're going to call it a team, it's got to be a team. And if you just want the best five players, look at who finished 1-5 in the MVP. It's simple to me.
Josh King, Justin Tatum, coach of the year. Good tick.
Yep, absolutely.
Tyrell Harrison, most improved.
No, I didn't necessarily agree with that.
I was shocked that even Quatnoy wasn't even in that three.
Yeah.
It was Ben Henshaw, Owen Foxwell, and Tyra Harrison. Nothing against all three.
How many games did Harrison miss? I mean, he might have been best sick man.
Yeah. Oh, body. Lord Botton has come out with the best one.
Let's throw a dad joke in.
I went Wani Swakalabulluk for best defensive, but I can't argue with Shane Lee. There's no argument.
No, I can't either.
And the next generation, yeah, I was fine with Alex Tui. So obviously we mentioned the All-NBL. Buddy.
Referee of the year, geez, that was a tough one. That was such a tough one. You know, there was like nobody could guess who that was going to be. It was very, very difficult. But I want to just say, I know I've said this probably elsewhere, but I want to say there's no one better in Australia at stopping a game with 0.3 seconds to go in the game, one team leading by 30, and we will just take 5 minutes to get the clock back up from 0.3 to 0.5. because it's so very important. Don't have to even name who the ref is. Don't even have to name him. The listeners know. Let's move on. And let's move on to Clint Steindl, because that's another great career.
Well, I just wanted to finish. Yes, Clint Steindl, congratulations. And he's announced that he will retire as well. So another stellar guy, really.
Yep. Three championships. Back-to-back with the Perth Wildcats, and then that exceptional win last year that the Tasmania Jack Jumpers experienced. He's had a lot to do with that culture. Speaking of which, I'm hearing, I don't know if you're hearing this, you know, you're moving in better circles than me these days, but I'm hearing Scott Roth may have done his dash and decided, no, look, thank you. There's really good money in Japan. I might go there.
I have heard that.
All right. If that's the case, here's the man I reckon would be the absolute perfect fit for that program. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Sean Dennis.
Oh, Sean Dennis would be a good fit for any program.
No, but for them, for where they are right now in their development and how they're going, I reckon he'd be a great fit. And there's not a chance in hell that they'll get him because he's doing too well in Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm just saying that he would be the person I'd turn to. I see in Brisbane you're turning to Derek Rucker, which is extraordinary.
I put a number of names up on there, and Derek Rucker was one. But yes, I think, well, you know, I've heard names like Modi Mayer, Chad Buford. There's obviously Sammy Mack has got some history there. Does D-Mac get the call up from assistant? Don't know. I don't think that would happen, but I wouldn't say no. You know, there's some, you know, Paul Hanare. There's some good people around, man, you know.
But the ones you mentioned that are doing it in Japan, they're not coming back here. They're getting better money. No. They're treated better. They're respected.
Look, there's Rob Beveridge as well. You know, there's a guy that's
Can't see it. I
agree with you. I just hope they spend the money and get the right coach, because it's been proven with a good coach. And I'm not saying that Justin wasn't, or I'm not saying that, but I don't think you could go, let's try an assistant and see how they go. I think where Brisbane's at, you need to pay the money and get an experienced coach that knows what. Because I'm hearing Bannon wants out. And
that'd
there's
be a
talk.
Big loss. He's a very good player.
That's and there's talk fabulous. Tasmania.
Well, that would be a great place for him to go. I mean, if I was Isaac Humphries, I'd be wanting out of my deal with Adelaide, and I'd go to Tasmania too to be a backup for Magne as a backup player. Wow. Isaac Humphries would be huge in Tasmania, but as a mainstay, as a starter, he's at that point in his career, Brad, where that hangdog look when he misses two shots, it's like, come on, mate. Come on, get over it. Get on with it. And so, Cairns, give me that. Who's your tip for Cairns coach's job?
I think it will be the assistant. Kerry Williams. That's what I'm hearing from there. Another, you know, like with a community-based team that is, I just feel that that's okay. You know, like, I mean, they're not, I don't want this to come across the wrong way. I don't know their budget situation, but they're not going to, from what I understand, is you can't go and pay, you know, like hundreds and hundreds of thousands for that type of coach. I'm not saying Kerry is not that type of coach, but what I am saying, that's what I'm hearing, and so be it. I got no problems with that.
Yep. They could probably look at Joel Kalu as well. I think he'd probably be a good.
Yeah, now there's, you mean the assistant for Illawarra. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's coaching in the NBL 1 North with Mackay, I believe. And he's very well known in North Queensland. Last week. They've got some good options.
From all accounts, too, he's doing a great job in Illawarra. I mean, obviously, but what I mean by that is the fact that he's very well respected. Jacob Chance is another one. He's coaching Australia. There's, you know, like
I'm looking forward to his game with Indonesia and against Thailand, because I'm going to see if he can get to 3 minutes without making a sub.
And on that note, Lord Bottend has finished our show. Hello, everyone, and goodbye, everyone. Hope you have a fantastic week off. Don't miss us. Just replay this if you want to watch and listen to a game, because that's all we can do. And remember, send us a little cheer and say whether I was right or Boddy was right.
Did he mention Lauren Jackson? I'm saying he didn't. Okay. All right, we're at 29.
Mate, if I mentioned Lauren Jackson, I'm telling you, I reckon I did.
I don't reckon you did.
Because
she was the last name.
How could that?
On that list you were reading down, she was
the last. I can't forget that. I can't forget her. I reckon you're wrong.
We'll see. Well, this will be a bit of fun anyway, you know. And if I'm wrong, we can say it's just my dementia. And if you're wrong, we can just say you're insane. You're insane.